Today's daf is Kiddush and Daf Lamed. We're holding on Daf Chav Tes and Beis Seishir is sponsored by the Sharf family, Lezecha Nishmas, Chana Bas Yehuda Halevi, whose yahrzeit is today. The Neshama should have an aliyah, and we thank Ken Sharf and family very much for the sponsorship. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Chav Tes and Beis. We're about 12 lines before the end of the page. Tan Rabbanan at a Braisa, that today's daf is packed with important and interesting topics. We're going to talk about whether a person should get married first or learn first, what the ideal age for marriage is. The Gemara is going to talk about teaching children and grandchildren Torah, both the chiyuv of it and the maila of it, of teaching children and grandchildren, how one should schedule his day in learning, the notion of chaseros v'yeseros in the Torah, and whether we are expert in knowing the chaseros and yeseros in the Torah. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about Talmud Torah in general, how Torah serves to ward off the Yetzer Hara. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Yetzer Hara, and then at the bottom of Amud Beis, we're going to start getting into Kibud Avim. So absolutely loaded daf with important sugya. Says the Gemara, let's pick it up at Tanur Rabbanan, about 12 lines before the end of the page, end of the line on Chav Tes and Beis. Tanur Rabbanan, Lil Motor V'Lisa Isha, Yil Motor V'Achar Kach Yisa Isha. If a person has the option to learn Torah or to get married, which one to do first? He plans on doing both eventually, so you should first learn Torah, and then afterwards, after he dedicated significant time to learning Torah, then he should go get married. But if it's impossible for him to go on without getting married, then he should get married and learn Torah afterwards. That the halacha is one should get married and then learn Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says that's not a very practical solution, because Rechayim b'tzavara v'yasuk b'torah, a person is going to have the responsibility of supporting a family, and he's going to be Elsik in Torah. I mean, he gets married, he signs on in the Ksuba that he's agreeing to support his wife, that it's not it's no one else's responsibility but his own. So how is he going to be able to learn Torah if he has the pressure of supporting a family? So it's a machlokas, apparently, in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel says to get married first and learn Kailul for a little bit, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, let him learn first before he has any responsibilities. Velo pligi, says Gemara, it's not a machlokas, halan v'halahu. It depends who you're talking about. It depends if you're talking about us or them. Are you talking about B'nai Bavel or B'nai Eretz Yisrael? Which is which, and why would there be a difference? This is a machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Rashi writes that B'nai Bavel would learn the Mishnayos of the Tanayim in Eretz Yisrael, and because they were learning elsewhere, they were learning away from their home, so they didn't have the responsibility of supporting their wife. So they can get married first, leave their wife at home, go off to Eretz Yisrael, and the wife would still live by her parents, and her parents would support her, and they won't have to worry about the Yetzer Hara, because they'll already be married, so they won't have any hirhurim, and then they can learn Torah freely. But the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who would learn in Eretz Yisrael, so it would be impossible for them to learn Torah after getting married, because they'd still be living at home with their wives, and they would have the tzorchei abayis would be their problem. Tosas, however, says he has a number of problems with this. Tosas says, first of all, in Dibur Maskal Halan Valu, he says, Kashal Arbinatam, Dimash, with the Kamar Shmuel, the Nosi, Yishat Chila, Kadelios, below Hirhur. The whole point of getting married first seems to be to avoid any sorts of Hirhurim. But if you're going to not be with your wife and get married and then skip town, so how's that going to solve the problem of Hirhurim? And furthermore, he says, that doesn't seem right. You're going to get married and then skip town? That doesn't seem like what a marriage is supposed to be like. That's the solution that the Gemara has. So rather, says Tosos, Al Kenyul Rabbinatam Ipcha. No, it's the other way around. When Rabbi Yochanan says it's impossible to get married first because you can't have the Ol HaParnasa, he's talking to Bnei Bavel, She'enu Yachal Aniach Yishol V'yelech V'yom HaTorah, because you can't get married and then abandon your wife. And they were poor, so they really had a lot of pressure to support themselves, so that would be an impossible solution to tell them to get married first. But Shmuel, who said get married first, was talking to Bnei Eretz Yisrael, because they could stay with their wives, so it makes sense for them to get married first. What about the Ola Parnasa? What about Rechayim et Savaro? Bnei Eretz Yisrael were Ashirin. They were wealthy, they didn't have to worry so much about the support, so they can get married and learn Torah, B'tahara. The assumption seems to be that if you take take everything else away, if you take away any pressures of financial burdens, that it's certainly better to learn Torah after getting married, not just because of a mitzvah of puravu, but because of Tara, that a person will learn Torah with greater kedusha and Tara if he doesn't have hirurim, if he doesn't have the issues of his yetzer hara. Says Gemara, Mishtabeach l'Rav Chista, l'Rav Huna. Rav Chista used to always tell Rav Huna b'Rav Hamnuna about Rav Hamnuna, the Adam Gadol Hu, that Rav Hamnuna is this Adam Gadol. So Rav Huna said to Rav Chista, great, sounds like a great guy. Next time Rav Hamnuna's in town, I would like you to bring him to me. I'd like to meet him. Kiyasa, when they brought Rav Hamnuna to Rav Huna, Chazi de lo parasudra. Rav Huna noticed that Rav Hamnuna was not wearing a turban. He wasn't wearing a hat or whatever, something on his head. Amale, my time lo paris de sudra. So he says, how come you're not wearing something on your head? Amale de lo nasivne. He said, because I'm not married. So adrina la ape mine. Rav Huna turned his face away from Rav Hamnuna in a sign of disgust. So I'm not going to look at you until you get married, because apparently he thought that someone who's unmarried is fighting a yetzer hara that's too difficult to overcome, and you have a responsibility that you have to get married. Rav Huna l'taimei da amar ben esrim shana v'lonas yisha kol yama va'avera. This is Rav Huna l'shitaso, who holds that anyone who's already 20 years old and has not gotten married yet is kol yama va'avera. All of his days are spent doing avera. Says the Gemara, avera va'avera. Really, is that necessarily true that it's mamish ba'avera that kol yamav he's actually doing an avera? So says Gemara, no, ela ema kol yamav bihirur avera, that his entire life he's at least bihirur avera, he's at least thinking about doing averas, he's thinking about, he has all sorts of hirurim that are distracting him. Until a person reaches the age of 20, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits there waiting, when is he going to get married? Once he hits the age of 20 and he hasn't gotten married, Hashem says, let his bones rot. He says, the reason that I'm so much better than my chaverim is because I got married at a young age, at the age of 16. And had I gotten married at 14, then I would say to the Satan, these are arrows in your eyes of the Satan, that he would have really defeated the Satan had he gotten married at an earlier age. So a couple of things over here. First of all, Rav Hamnuna was not wearing a sudra, and when asked why, he said that it's because I'm not married. So apparently this is a source for the idea that whatever the chiyuv of yarmulke is, whatever the chiyuv of hat is, of having some sort of ativas arosh, something changes when a person gets married. And we have other sources that suggest, Gemara Masech Shabbos suggests, that something changes when you walk more than four amos. Gemara says that one of the amorim says, Tesili, that I deserve credit because lo elichna dalet amos begili arosh, I never walked four amos begili arosh. And we also have sources that suggest that dafka nadam chashuv requires a sudra. That we had earlier, what was it, daf chesr, so where Rav Kana took for pidyon haben a sudra, because even though it wasn't worth chamish shloim, but for him it was worth chamish shloim because it was nadam chashuv. So the poskim try to sort all of that out. What exactly is the chiyuv of a head covering? What exactly is the minig of a head covering? But what we get from divrei chazal, at least, is that for nadam chashuv, that for walking four amos, and that for being a married person, apparently there is this additional requirement. We also have a Gemara Masechta Shabbos that tells us of one of the Amorayim who had a wild nature, and his mother used to always make sure that he'd wear a yarmulke, and as soon as one time his yarmulke came off, he acted in an extremely wild way, climbed up a tree and bit off some fruits. He acted in an extremely wild way because the yarmulke sort of kept him in check. So we see that the function or the role of the yarmulke is sort of to give a person a certain sense of Yirat Shamayim, a certain sense of the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam, which leads the Poskim, Beis Yosef and others to assume that there is an enhanced chiyuv of head covering when one is encountering the Shechina. Meaning it's a reminder of the Shechina, so when one is really with the Shechina, the person needs that this enhanced sense of recognition of Hashras HaShechina. When do we encounter the Shechina? So the Beis Yosef points out, in Beis HaKnesses, in Shul, and also whenever you're davening, you're saying brachos. If a person is mentioning the Shem Hashem, that a person has to wear a yarmulke. So if a person, even if you hold that it's only a minhag, which most poskim hold, that it's only a minhag to stam wear a yarmulke, but when you're saying a bracha, it's halacha, that a person has to wear a yarmulke when saying a bracha or when going into shul. So that's a discussion exactly how, whether there are different levels of head covering. Ramesh, famously in his very first tshuva, Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelek Aleph, Simen Aleph, discusses the requirement of a yarmulke, and he thinks that the Mikra din one only needs a yarmulke that you would look at the person and say, okay, his head is covered, that it doesn't have to cover Rov HaRosh. Rov HaRosh is only if a person is going to be davening or whatever, but he doesn't, that a person could have a small yarmulke. A lot of people were unhappy with Rav Moshe that he wrote a tshuva saying that it's that his very first tshuva in the whole Sefer is going to be that you're allowed to wear a small yarmulke. But Rav Moshe, Torah was Torah. It doesn't, that's the Pesach Halacha. Rav Vadya has a tshuva about it also, where he says that a person has to have, when he davens, he has to cover Rov HaRosh, and when he's not davening, it has to be large enough that a person looking at him from any angle would be able to spot the yarmulke, would be able to see the yarmulke. Rav Vadya discusses people who have tiny yarmulkes that they wear on the back of their head, and if it's kedai to tell him, we're only going to give you an aliyah if you move the yarmulke to the front of your head. And he says that that's silly to tell him to move to the front of the head, because then no one's going to see it from the back of the head. He said it's much better to encourage him to wear a larger yarmulke. He says if a person, so should we not give him an aliyah? Should we sort of shut him out if he's, he said that's a bad idea, because then he just stopped coming to shul. Adrabah, try to be mashpia slowly until ultimately he has a proper yarmulke. But anyway, these are that's why a lot of people have the practice, Mishabura writes, that they only start covering their head with a talus after they get married. That's based on this Gemara, because he only is parasudra when he gets married, meaning it was a reasonable excuse not to be parasudra because he wasn't married. He had no excuse not to be married. That's what Rav Huna was upset about, but a reasonable excuse not to be part of Sudra because he was not yet married. So says the Gemara further, Amle Rava Rav Nosson Bar Ami, Adyad Chal Tzavarei Dibreich Mishut Tzavar Adashim Vitarti, that you should, when you still have control over your child, you should, which is between the age of 16 and 22, Va'amrila Mitim Nisrei Adashim Va'arba, between the age of 18 and 24, that's when a person should see to it that is, that his children should get married. Rashi quotes two perushim over here. The first is that we're talking about the zman to get married, that Rav is saying that between 16 and 22 is the time to make sure your son takes a wife. Second is, possibility, he says, is that nothing to do with getting married. This has to do with being mochiach one's children. That makes sure between the age of 16 and 22, that's where he really understands the tocha, that's where he's mature enough to internalize whatever sort of musar the father's going to give. So that's what he should do. The Tos Ria Zaken says like the second Pshat in Rashi that this is about Tocha, and he says Yodcha al Tzavrei Debreich, it means that he should teach his son and train his son to go B'derech HaYashar. The Gemara Maseches Moed Katan Daf Yud Zayin says that one is not allowed to hit his B'no Gadol because of Lifnei Iver, that if you have a child who's already a little bit older, one is not allowed to strike him because it's Lifnei Iver. The kid's going to turn around and slug the parent right back. So probably this doesn't mean Adiyad Chal Tzavarei Debreich, literally, that your hand should be on his neck, but it means that one should guide him and one should teach him. Shulchan Aruch and Yardes and Reshmem Paskins that someone who's Maka B'no Gadol is Yehi B'ni. He belongs in Cherem if he hits an older son. The Rama writes that B'no Gadol means after the age of 22 or 24. Where does Rama get that from? Because Rama takes this literally. Yad Chal Tzavarei Debreich, that it should be your hand literally on the child up until the point where he gets too old. How old is too old? So that's 22 or 24, the two possibilities over here. The Rambam writes in the 15th parak of Hilchos Yishus that a person should get married at the age of 17. So the poskim all have a difficult time understanding where the Rambam got that. We have 16, we have 18. So what, he just compromised between 16 and 22, between 18 and 24. So the Rambam just said 17. Very difficult to understand where the Rambam got it from. The Rambam writes that it's the age of 17, but L'chora, the Chok Smachokek and Ebenezer Siman Aleph says it's a little bit strange why there would be a mitzvah in the Torah that we only recommend doing at the age of 17. Meaning a person becomes a bar mitzvah at the age of 13. So how could it be that there's a mitzvah in the Torah and we tell them, just hold off 4 more years. 4 more years, a mitzvah in the Torah. Torah? Why would you hold off 4 more years? So he says the Chazal were mekabel chalks mechokik nevnezus suminal. Says Chazal were mekabel that a person has to learn Torah before he gets married. So there has to be some sort of training, and we know ben chamesh asrei l'talmud that the way the Mishnah sets it out for us, when he's 13, he's still only halfway through Shisha Sidri Mishnah. He's ben chamesh asrei l'talmud, and he has to get his feet wet at least in the study of Talmud before he gets married. Okay, says Mar Kitanoi, this is Machlokas Tanoi, what exactly the age is. Chanoch Linar, Al Pidarko, Rabbi Rabbi Nechami, Chadar Meshutzah, Vad Esrim, Tartim, Chadar Mitzim Nisrei, Vad Esrim, Arba, either 16 to 22 or 18 to 24. Until to what extent is a person obligated to teach his son Torah? So that question is very open-ended. What does that mean, to what extent? So we'll see from the answer what the question must have meant. As a model, we should use Zvulun ben Dan, who his grandfather taught him Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachos, and Agados. In that order is the way it's supposed to be done, typically. First you learn Mikra, then Mishnah, then Talmud, then Halachos, then Agados. Meisvei, Lamda Mikra and Malamda Mishnah of Amarava Mikra Zutorah. But didn't we learn that if you learned Mikra, you don't have to teach a Mishnah? The father has to teach a son Mikra, but he does not have to teach a Mishnah. And Mikra just means Torah, as opposed to not even Nevi'im Uksuvim. So the father's chiv of what he has to teach his son is very limited. It's only Chumash. So how can you say that we should model our teaching Torah to our children after Zvulun Ben Dan? Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halacha, Agada, says Gemara, Kizvulun Ben Dan, Velo Kizvulun Ben Dan. We don't entirely model it after Zvulun Ben Dan. We partially model after Zvulun Ben Dan. Kizvulun Ben Dan, Shalim Du'avi Aviv, Velo Kizvulun Ben Dan, Dilu Hasa, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halacha, Agados, Vilu Acha, Mirka, Levad. In the sense we're like Zvulun Ben Dan, in that it should be a grandfather teaching a grandson also. It shouldn't just be father to son. But not like Zvulun Ben Dan, because you don't have to go as far as Zvulun Ben Dan went in terms of the curriculum of what he taught him. So Ad Heichan Chayv Adam Lamedes Bnei Torah means how many generations do you have to teach Torah? And that's the Gemara's answer, because Zvulun Ben Dan, that it should be that a person should teach even his grandson Torah. The Kesef of Mishnah in Hilchos Talmud Torah says that it's pashut that ben beno is kodem leben chavero. That it's not just grandson; it means continuing the link in the Messiah. So great grandson would come before Ben Chavero, would come before someone else's child. A great grandson, there would also be a chiyuv to teach him Torah. But wait, is there really a chiyuv for a grandfather to teach his grandson Torah? So we learn from there that not Bnei Bneichem, Umani Mikhaim Vodatam Vnechel Vnei Vnecha. I, what do I do with the pasuk that seems to imply that you have to teach your grandson? Not to tell me a chiv, that's to tell me that someone who teaches his grandson Torah, it's as if he's taught all future generations Torah by going ahead in the chain in the Mesorah, another level down. It's like teaching all future generations. But bottom line is, don't you see that this is a great chiv? Yet on the other end, we say b'neichem v'lo b'nei b'neichem. So which is it? Is it not a chiyuv at all, or is it a very great chiyuv and something that's a wonderful thing? Says Mar Hudi Amar Ki Tana. The Tana v'limatamos b'neichem. Ainly, there's another Tana. It's a machlokas tanaim. The Tana darshins v'limatamos b'neichem. Ainly al b'neichem b'nei b'neichem inayim. From b'neichem, we don't exclude b'nei b'neichem. We say, how do I know that it also includes b'nei b'neichem? Tamalom v'vodatam v'nechel v'nei v'necha. So then what do I learn from Bneichem? If we're even including grandchildren, Bneichem v'lo b'noseichem, we're excluding daughters, but we're including grandsons. Someone teaches grandson Torah, it's as if the grandson has received the Torah from our Sinai. And then after it talks about teaching a grandchild Torah, it says, the day you stood at our Sinai. He saw that he would throw like a small yarmulke on his head and right away schlep his kid to the shul where the melamed was. He says, why can't you get dressed properly before you run out to the shul to bring your kid? Is Har Sinai not important enough an experience that one should be in a rush to try to get there as soon as possible? Meaning teaching your child Torah is like bringing him to Har Sinai. Mikan ve'elach, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba lo toy mumtza ad-mikru dinuka musfei. That from then on, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba took on the practice that he wouldn't have breakfast. Umtza is like some sort of roasted meat that they used to have for breakfast. He wouldn't eat his breakfast until he brought his kid to yeshiva, until he taught him whatever Torah that he had from the day before, and he added a little more. He taught him a little more for that day's lesson. Rabbi Rafuna lo toy mumtza ad-mikru dinuka beis midrasha. That he wouldn't have his breakfast until he brought his son to the Beis Medrash, that it was so important to teach him Torah that that would come before eating in the morning. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah Parak Aleph Halacha Zayin writes, "V'chayiv lo lamdo b'scharat shikra Torah shebichsav kula." That one has to teach b'schar until he teaches Torah shebichsav kula. The Rambam says, which is a little bit interesting, because our Gemara said by Zvulun Ben Dan that he only has to teach a mikra, and mikra, the Gemara said, means Torah. It does not mean Torah shebichsav kula, the entire Tanakh. Kas Mishra says that he does not mean that you have to teach him that Bechinam, he has to teach him Mishnah and Talmud also, and it's just Bishar he has to teach him Mikra. It means everything. The father's entire Chiyuv is only to teach him Mikra, not to teach more than Mikra. The Lech Mishnah, however, says that he doesn't have to teach him Mishnah and Bishar, but Bechinam he does have to teach him. Meaning the father has to see to it beyond just Mikra, that the child should learn Mishnah and Talmud as well. It's just that he doesn't have to hire a Malamed for anything beyond the Mikra. He only has to hire a Malamed for Mikra itself. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out that we find that Mikra sometimes, we're about to see in the Gemara that the term Mikra refers to all of Tanakh, even though we just learned earlier that Mikra means just Torah. And he suggests that the word Mikra just means to read. So it means, when we use the word Mikra, it really depends on context. If whenever reading is more valuable than whenever you have an area of Torah where reading has value, we can call that Mikra. So for example, in comparison to Torah Sheval Peh, all of Tanakh is Mikra, because Torah Sheval Peh is never supposed to be read from a text, it's supposed to be Val Peh, it's usher to have it in a text, Mikra Din. Torah Shebichsav, Tanakh, all of Tanakh is supposed to be written, so if it's written down, you would read it. So on a certain level, all of Tanakh in comparison to Torah Sheval Peh can be called Mikra. But when you're talking within Tanakh itself, Chumash is more Mikra than Nevi'im Ksuvim are. On the simplest level, because we have a chiv of Kriyas HaTorah, that there's an actual mitzvah of reading from a Torah as opposed to reading Nevi'im Ksuvim, there's no technical chiv of reading from Nevi'im Ksuvim. But Rabbi Yaakov says different. He says, by Nevi'im Ksuvim, if you read without Havana, without understanding anything, you're not Mekayim a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But by Chumash, if you read without any Havana, you read without understanding at all, you are Mekayim a mitzvah of Talmud Torah partially. So that's why Chumash is called Mikra, because the Mikra itself, just reading the words itself, has great value, is a key mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Amr of Safra Mishum Rabbi Shobin Chanani, Maidich Se Vishnatam of Necha. What does the Pasuk mean when it tells me Vishnatam of Necha? Al Tikri Vishnatam El Vishilashtem. Don't read it as Vishnatam, rather read it as Vishilashtem, which means you should divide up into three parts. Lolim Yishali Shadim Shnosav, first thing you should divide his years of learning, his entire learning career, into three parts. Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. One third in Mikra, one third in Mishnah, one third in Talmud. You see clearly over here the word Mikra means Tanakh, because it can't be saying Chumash and then just skipping the Nevi'im Ksuvim and going straight to Mishnah. No, Mikra means Tanakh over here. But he divides his years evenly. Says the Gemara, Mi Yodeh Kam L'Chai. How is a person supposed to divide his years? He's going to know how long he lives. Person knows he's going to live to exactly 96 years old. So he's going to learn 32 years Mikra, 32 years Mishnah, 32 years Talmud. And what if he doesn't make it that long? What if he makes it longer? So says the Gemara, Lo Tzricha L'Yomi. No, it means you divide up by days. So Machlokas Rashi tells us what that means. Rashi says, 2 days Mikra, 2 days Mishnah, 2 days Talmud, and I guess one day of Chazara in the week. And Tosfos says, no, what happens then if you die on Tuesday? Then it turns out that you'll never end up getting to half the Mishnah and the Talmud of that week either. So Tosfos says, no, it means within each day you should divide up Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. The L'chora, one could say in Davar Sof, meaning if Tosfos has a problem with Rashi, what happens if a guy dies Tuesday? What happens if a guy dies 2 o'clock in the afternoon and he never gets to Talmud that day? No, Elamai, you have to understand that within reason, that it shouldn't be, that it's so out of whack that a person is going to die at a point where his Mikra knowledge is great and he's got nothing in Mishnah and Talmud. So as long as you have a reasonable schedule, Tosfos says, but they built into the davening to solve this problem, to make sure Torah that a person, Rav Amram, was Masakin, that every day you have Pesukim, before Pesukim de Zimra, we have Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. We have Pesukim of Karbanos, we have the Mishnah, Sveiz, Mukoban, and we have the Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel Lomrin. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's why we have that before Pesukim de Zimra, to be Mekayim, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, which is a fascinating insight into what the Yishali Shalom Shnosov is really all about. I would have thought Yishali Shalom Shnosov is trying to give us the best curriculum to become a Talmud Chacham. So make sure you're well balanced and you know Mikra, you know Mishnah, but then it wouldn't make sense to say the same thing every day. You're not going to become much of a Talmud Chacham if you only know one parak of Mishnayis and Rabbi Shmuel Lomer and those few parshios of the Karbanos. So Pashtus, the way Rav Amram Gon understood it, is that there's a special key of Talmud Torah in learning each day all areas of Torah. Not that this is the curriculum. Your curriculum, you figure out the rest of your learning. As Rav Sachs quoted on Friday night, if the Shach writes 4 hours a day, in the 4 hours a day that a person who works for a living is going to learn, so he'll figure out the rest of his script. But in those 10 minutes in the morning, at least he'll make sure whatever he's going to be learning the rest of the day, Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. He'll at least make sure that he dabbles in each area of Talmud. Then Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, the famous sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, that we are somech nowadays. The reason why no one learns Mikra or Mishnah nowadays is because we're somech on the what it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Talmud Bavli is called Bavli, because not only because it was written in Bavel, but because it's Balul Bekulam, it's Balul B'Mikra Mishnah of Talmud, that in a page of Talmud Bavli you have Psukim, you have Mishnayis, you have Gemara, so we're never learning exclusively Gemara. So when we learn Talmud Bavli, we're in fact learning Mikra Mishnah. Again, Rabbeinu Tam seems to be assuming that it's not a curriculum in how to know Tanakh and how to know Mishnayis. You learn Talmud Bavli, there will be many parts of Tanakh you'll have no clue about, and there will be many Mishnayis you won't know that much about. So it's about touching on all areas of Torah. When you learn Talmud Bavli, you'll probably find all areas, if you learn enough of it. Person only learns 10 lines of Talmud Bavli a day, he's probably not going to hit a Mishnah and a Pasuk every day. You learn a daf a day, you have a much better chance. You learn several daf a day, an even better chance of a Rishat because when Rameh Shapiro started the Daf Yomi, and a lot of the Hasidic yeshivas, they thought it was an outrage. Only one daf a day? How's that shaykh? A person's only going to learn one daf a day. Okay, so I don't know how many dafim Rabbeinu Tam was assuming that a person's going to learn, but Magen Avraham writes in Shulchan Aruch that's why the minhag is we don't teach children Tanakh anymore, because we rely on Talmud Bavli. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky thinks the Shach writes that. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky thinks that's outrageous. That's not what Rabbeinu Tam meant. Rabbeinu Tam meant after the child already learned all of Tanakh, when you're an adult and you just have to make sure that you hit Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud every day, so that you get with Talmud Bavli, but at the expense of ever learning Tanakh, he thought that was outrageous. Lefichach nikru Rishonim Sofrim. The Rishonim, the earlier generations were called Sofrim. Shei Sofrim Kalosi Yosha B'Torah, because they used to count all the letters in the Torah. They knew that the Vav in the word Gachon was the halfway point of the letters in the Torah. Torosh Torash Chetzin Shal Tevos. Torosh Torash is the halfway point in the words of the Torah. Viskalech Shal Psukim. Yichar Semenu Chaz Miyar. Ayin di Ya'ar Chetzin Shal Tilim. The Ayin of Ya'ar is the halfway point of the letters of Tilim. Vurachum Yichaparavon Chetzin Shal Psukim is the halfway point of the Psukim of Tilim. Boyer Rav Yosef, Vav de Gachon, when you say the Vav of Gachon is the halfway point of the Torah, Mehagisa, Mehagisa, is it the last letter in the first half of the Torah, or is it the first letter of the second half of the Torah? Meaning there is an even number of letters in the Torah. If there were not a number of letters in the Torah, then it would probably just mean it's the middle letter. But there are an even number of letters, so it's got to be on one side of the line or the other. Which side is it? Amalei Nesi Sefer Torah Vemninu. Why don't we bring a Sefer Torah? We'll count it. Milo Amar Rabbi Rechana Lo Zaz Mishamat Shaviyu Sefer Torah Manum. Did Rabbi Rechana say that sometimes they would bring a Sefer Torah and they would actually start counting things? Amalei, no, they would do that, which is amazing. Why would they care? What exactly is halfway point in the Torah? Meaning that it's worth their time to sit there counting all the letters? Apparently there was some meaning to this, that it was worth the time to count all the letters. But he said, anyway, we can't do that nowadays. Inu Bekiyima Chaseros V'Yaseros Anon La Bekinan. They used to be Bekiyim and Chaseros v'yaseros. We're not such Bekiyim and Chaseros v'yaseros, so we don't know every extra Vav and Hey and Yud that appears in different places in the Torah, so counting would be useless for us. So this is the Shagasari writes in the Tshuva, that's why we don't write Sifrei Torah nowadays, even though there's a mitzvah Taryag, mitzvah number 613, is that every Jew has an obligation to write a Sifrei Torah. So why do so many Jews not do it? So they say, because it costs 40, 50 grand to write a Sifrei Torah, so not every Jew can afford to do it. Well, why don't we have it in yeshivas? We should start with them when the kids are 5, 6 6 years old, start teaching them how to write, start teaching them safras, and it'll be a lifelong project. You know, they'll get a klaf, and it'll be a thread. They'll write a few letters every day, and till ultimately every Jew should fulfill this mitzvah. Why do we not do it? So Shagazari says, because we can't. We can't fulfill the mitzvah. The mitzvah requires writing all the letters properly in the Torah. We're not bekin b'chaseres yuseres. So Menachas Chinuch, the mitzvah Taryag, says that's crazy though. That means that we don't have any kasher Sivrei Torah. It means we were never Yotzei Parsha Zachar. It means we're not Yotzei the Parsha. We're not Yotzei Tefillin because our Tefillin aren't kasher. It means that nothing, that every bracha we make on an Aliyah is a bracha levatala. To say that none of our Sivrei Torah are kasher, I mean, he's answering one kasha, but he's raising a much, much bigger kasha. If you can say that, so the Menachas Chinuch says there are different types of chaseres. Plus, he says the Gemara in Sukkah and Sanhedrin elsewhere says Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemesoris, a discussion about whether we focus on the spelling or the pronunciation of Sukkos with a vav, without a vav, Totafos with a vav, without a vav. Sounds like we know that there's a vav written there or not written there. I thought we're not expert. What do you mean we know that? So Menachas Chinuch says you have to say that we're not Pekin v'chaseres v'yoseres when it doesn't make a difference in the meaning of the word. But if it makes a difference in the meaning of the word, then we are Pekin v'chaseres v'yoseres. Plus, he says, you also have to say we're bekin b'chaseres v'yaseros in the parshios of tefillin and mezuzah. That's not mistaver, that would have gotten lost. So, and when it doesn't change the meaning of the word, it's not going to possibly just say for Torah. So, we're not bekin b'chaseres v'yaseros only insofar as we're not going to be able to count the letters in the Torah, but as far as having a kashra say for Torah, that we do have. Is that on the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half? Why don't we at least count the psukim? So Pesukinami lo bekinon. We're not experts in where to end all the Pesukim either. There's something we have as one Pesuk in Eretz Yisrael, they would have it as three Pesukim. Tillim has 8 more psukim than that. Chasam and Divrayam Shmona. And Divrayam has 8 fewer psukim than that. Tan Rabban Vishinantam. Vishinantam teaches us she Divrei Torah mechudadim beficha. That Divrei Torah should be sharp in our mouth. Shem Yishalcha Adam Davar. That if someone asks us something in Torah, Al Tegamgim V'Tomerlo. We shouldn't have to stammer to answer. El Amrlo Miad. We should be able to be so fluent that it should be an immediate response. Shenemar. And more lechachma achosiyat, that we should say to chachma achosiyat, meaning that Rashi explains what that means is we should be as big a bucky in the rest of Torah as we are in the fact that our sister is asertas, meaning something that's so obvious, such a pashut halacha, everything should be so pashut to us. We should know it so well that everything should be so easy for us to answer. That we should write the Torah on the luach of our hearts. That's the Beis Halevi as a drasha in that the ksav of Torah Sheval Peh, that the klaf of Torah Sheval Peh is the lave of the Jew. That the Jewish body is the ki'ilu, the ksav of the Torah Sheval Peh. Rav Soloveitchik expanded on it and said that's why a Jewish mace requires kvura, because halacha is that tashmishe kedusha are different than tashmishe mitzvah. Things that were used for a mitzvah, la'achas man mitzvahs and nizrakin. There's no requirement of burying them. But things that were tashmishe kedusha is defined as things that had ksav of Torah on them, mezuzah, tefillin, sefer Torah. That's called tashmishe kedusha. That's nignazim. That has to be buried. A Jewish dead body and a non-Jewish dead body, they're both tashmishe mitzvah. They're both bodies were used to do mitzvahs throughout their lifetimes, hopefully. Even a non-Jew has sheva mitzvahs, he does mitzvahs, just a difference in quantity of mitzvahs. No, it's that by a Jew, it's chakuk aluach libecha, that it's like ksav of Torah, that's chakuk aluach libecha, so it's tashmishe kedusha, that's why there's a chiv kvura on Mesei Yisrael, and not on Mesei Akum. V'omer chitzim yad gibor kein b'nei anu'urim, v'omer chitzim gibor shnunim, v'omer chetzcha shnunim amim tachtach yiplu, v'omer asher that a person, we use the imagery of having as many arrows in one's, what do you call it, whatever the thing you put arrows in as possible, that the arrows of Torah, he should be totally armed. Ki dabra soivim b'shar. Mayas soivim b'shar, what is it we're talking about with your enemies in the gate? Amr b'chir baraba, afilu ha'avu b'no, rabu talmidu, shoskum b'torah. If you have a father and son, or a Rebbe and a student, who are learning Torah b'shar echad, in the same gate, nasim oivim ze'ezeh. They become like enemies to each other. Ve'enim zaz mishamat shenasim oivim ze'ezeh. But by the time they're done, they love each other. Shnemar esvei b'sufa. Altu g'b'sufa el b'sofa. That at the end of the day, the way Torah works is a melchamta shel Torah. Person learns with the chavrusa, there's yelling, there's screaming, there's insisting that your position is right, there's arguing, there's bringing riots, and it looks like they don't like each other at all. But that's such a bonding experience, that experience of learning together and of fighting in Torah and experiencing the melchamta shel Torah brings people much, much closer together. Tan Rabbanan, v'samtem samtam. It says v'samtem, Torah is supposed to be a samtam, a perfect medication. Nimshla Torah kasam chayim. It's like a medication of life. Mashal adam shikas b'no maka gedola. It's like a person hits his child and wounds him badly. V'iniach lo retiel makaso. And he puts a bandage on the wound. V'amr lo b'ni, kol zman sha retiel zo al makascha, echol ma sha'anascha, v'shisei ma sha'anascha, rechotz b'en b'cham b'en mitzonin. As long as you have this bandage and this medication on, you can do whatever you want. You can eat what you want, drink what you want, go swimming in cold water, bathing in warm water. You don't have to worry about anything. But if you take it off, then it could get infected. So to Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Bini, Barasi Yetzar, Barasi Latara Tavlin. I've created Yetzar, it's going to encounter you all the time, but there's a way to get around the Yetzar, there's a way to defeat the Yetzar, and that's through Torah. Handed over into the hands of the Yetzirah. Shnemar alom, Tetiv says, V'mein atem oskim b'Torah, atem nimsar b'yado, but if you are not osik in Torah, you will be given over to the Yetzirah. Shnemar l'pesach atos rovetz, that sin crouches at the door. V'lo'od el shakol maso masanobach, and you should know that the Yetzirah is singularly focused on you. He's trying to go after us every day. Shnemar v'lechot shukaso, his desire is for us. V'matarotza atemoshal bo, but if you want, you can rule over the Yetzirah. Shnemar v'atotim Shalba. Tan Rabbanan, a few things, four things about the Yetzirah. First of all, Kashi Yetzirah Shafil Yotzer Korra. Yetzirah is so bad that even its creator calls it bad. Normally, no matter how bad a person is on death row or something, but his mother says what a good boy he was and what a wonder. Because the Yotzer, the one who helps create him, at least will look at him positively. But the Yetzirah is so bad that even the creator of the Yetzirah calls him evil. Shnemar Ki Yetzirah Leva Adam, Ra Mina Urav, Hashem says. The Yetzirah of a person is Ra Mina Urav. Second thing about the Yetzirah, Amar Yitzchak Yitzchak Shalad Mischad Yishol B'chol Yom Shemar Rak Rak Kol Yom. Not only is Yetzirah attack us every day and say Lechot Shukaso, but it's Mischadish B'chol Yom. He comes up with new ways to attack us, with new arguments. So if we're ready to fight yesterday's Yetzirah, we're too late on today's Yetzirah. A lot of times that's a problem people have. They're all ready to fight yesterday's battles, but they don't realize that today there are new battles. That's why we have that we have to go to our Chacham in our generation to figure out how to deal with the Yetziraras and the pressures of our generation, because every day there are new battles. So the third thing is that he's relentless. He'll come after us every day and try to kill us. And then the fourth thing about the Yetzirah is, with all the attacks, with Molei Kadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, Ein Yochala. Without the help of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we would not be able to defeat the Yetzirah. Shemar Elokim Lo Yazven B'Yado. And we need siyata d'shmaya. A person has to daven also, not to be handed over to the Yetzirah. So it's true that a person has bechira chavshis, but we always need siyata d'shmaya for everything. Tanu d'bei Rabbi Shmuel b'ni impagu b'cham menuvel zeh. Rabbi Shmuel taught that if someone has this menuvel attack them, the Yetzirah attacks him, mashchel l'beis medrash, schlep him to the beis medrash. Im evenu nimoach, im barzel mispotzeitz. If he's a stone, he will melt. If he's iron, he will shatter. That it can't stand up to the force of Torah. That just like a stone with a drip of water, constant drip of water ultimately will wear away on the stone, the Yetzer Hara ultimately get worn away. It's interesting that it says Mashcheu LeBeis HaMedrash and not leave him aside and go to the Beis HaMedrash. You're supposed to bring the Yetzer Hara into the Beis HaMedrash with you. I think that's a famous story they tell with Rav Huttner, that when the Mashgiach, or when the maybe it was the Altus Lubatka, told him he has to get a Chavrusa when he was younger, he said, I don't want to get a Chavrusa. So he said, no, you have to learn with a Chavrusa. So the next day they came to him and said, did you get a Chavrusa? He said, yes. Who's your Chavrusa? My Yetzer Hara. Why is Yetzer Hara your Chavrusa? At least let it be your Yetzer Tov. He said, my Yetzer Hara is much, much smarter. So that's why I learned Dafka with my Yetzer Hara. So you should bring the Yetzer Hara into the Beis Medrash, and that the Yetzer Hara can be used, can be employed in a positive way somewhere in the Beis Medrash, and you'll defeat him. You'll defeat his plans. Lasio Isha. So we said that one of the chivim of a father has to his son is to get him married off. Minalan. Tichsuv kuchu nashim validu banum banus kuchu vnechem nashim vesbenoseichem tenula anashim. So you have to marry off your sons and your daughters. Bishlam bin Obiyado. I understand how you can marry off your son. You go out and you find a girl for him. Elabito Obiyadoi. But is marrying off your daughter really in your control? I mean, you can't find a guy for her. The guy is going to have to be convinced. So it's going to be more difficult. Yeah, you're able to be margil. Rashi says, is it possible to be margil anashim lasiya to get men there to marry her? So says, sure you can. Hachi kamerlohu make her look as presentable as possible, buy her nice things and make her wear nice clothing, and then she'll and raise her in the right way, goes without saying, and that she should have the proper middos and everything else, that people will be interested in her. Lelamdo umnus. A person also has to teach his son a profession. Minolan, how do we know that? Or Mechizkiya Damakor, Rei Chayim Im Isha Sharafta. That there should be Chayim Im Isha, together with a wife. Im Isha Mamishi, if it means an Isha Mamish, Kshem Shchayv Lasiyu Isha Kachayv Lamdo Umnos, then it means that just like you have to get your son married, you also have to get him a wife. And Im Torahi, and if it's referring to Torah, it's saying Kshem Shchayv Lamdo Torah, Kachayv Lamdo Umnos. That along with Torah is Lamdo. Meaning the Gemara is assuming that that if it's teaching us to get that it goes hand in hand, that getting married goes hand in hand with having a job, and learning Torah goes hand in hand with having a job. That it can't be that the Torah is telling you to get your son married and not have it not teach him a profession. It can't be that it's telling you to teach him Torah and not teach him a profession. Why is that such a davar pashut? Because yafa Torah im derech eretz. There needs to be im derech eretz. So if there's no profession, then the Torah ultimately is going to be melamdu listus, and the Torah is going to fall by the wayside. He's not going to have the Torah anymore. And lamdu isha as well. If he's going to get married, he has to have the responsibilities of being married, and it's not going to work otherwise. He's not going to be able to continue to be productive. Some say you should teach him even to swim. My time, why would you teach him to swim? Because that's a survival skill, and it's important to teach children survival skills. Rabbi Yudah, that if a person doesn't teach his child umnus, zivhi taught him listus. By the way, Bin Yitzion just points out in the Tshuva in Kuf Chafei that the Rambam leaves out the chiyuv to be masi banuva benosav and to be melamid umnus and la shita benar. Leaves out all of it. Leaves out all of these chiyuv. And he suggests that the Chiv Lahasiyas Banav Mnosav is included in what the Rambam writes in Yisuri Bia, where he says, Mitzvah Scham Shiyasiyah the Banav Mnosav Samach Lepirkan. And the Rambam talks about what age a person should try to see to it that his children get married in a different kind of context of age of getting married. So he doesn't have to mention separately that you actually have to see to it that they get married. It goes without saying. And he says, and the Lamdu Umnus is included in Hilchos Rotzeach. It says, Avalim Yasar Beno Kedei Lamdu Torah, Ochachma Umnus Umeis Pater. The Rambam talks about if a person is hitting his child, and he's being too hard on his kid and he accidentally kills him. So what the halach is, whether he goes to Golos or not, in terms of killing Bishogig. But the examples Ram gives of why is he pressuring his child, because he's teaching him Torah or he's teaching him Anumna. So he happened to mention it over there, they have to teach Anumna. So he's just sort of snuck it in without saying it explicitly, but it goes without saying. That's at least for Lamdumna. Slashito Benor seems to be a machloka. It's not so clear that we pass on that way. Kol mitzvah sa'av al haben. Then the Mishnah had said that all, I'm sorry, listus, it says if you taught him listus, so listus al-gadaituch, is that teaching him listus when you teach him when you don't teach him a trade, says Gemara, it's as if you taught him listos, but not actually listos. So, my benayu, what's enough gemina? What's Rabbi Yehuda adding that we didn't already learn? We already said you chayv lamdo umnos. So, what's he adding when he says if you didn't teach him, it's as if you taught him listos? So, you can benayu dagmere iska. What if you taught him how to do business? So, there's no, it's not a profession. You didn't teach him how to, how to be a professional, how to do something that others can't necessarily do, but you gave him some basic business skills. So that's not being melamed umnus, but at least it's not melamdo listos, because he should be able to put things together and figure it out to be able to make a living. So he may not have a unique skill, but he'll be able to make a living, so it's not melamdo listos. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Kol Mitzvos Ha'av Al-Aben, and we'll get into Kibbut Aveid.